Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, February 16, 2022. Some political detainees are on hunger strike in Sudan's capital, Khartoum.
The detained individuals whose cases we are now following are more than 110, and they began the hunger strike 3 days ago.
And military authorities in South Sudan say the country's unified forces are ready for graduation.
The report is supposed to be submitted to NTTC chair, who would in turn submit it to the principals so that they make a decision on the unification command based on the ratios that they would agree on.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. More than 100 political detainees in Sudan's Soba prison are on hunger strike. Some family members of the detainees say doctors and lawyers have no access to Soba prison in Sudan's capital, Khartoum. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Defense representatives for those being held in the Soba prison and other unknown facilities where people are being held without charges are demanding the immediate release of the detainees. As Sadiq Ali Hassan, the Secretary General for the Darfur Bar Association, tells South Sudan in Focus that more than 100 people are being illegally detained at the Soba prison. He says prison authorities have denied his group access to the detainees and that the government has denied the detainees access to family members and doctors. Ali says that is why the detainees began their hunger strike.
The detained individuals whose cases we are now following are more than 110, and they began the hunger strike 3 days ago. No charges have been brought against them, which means they are illegally detained and the detention violates the law.
Last week, the former Sudanese Minister for Cabinet Affairs, Khalid Omar Youssef, was arrested from the headquarters of the Sudanese Congress Party in Khartoum's Lamarat neighborhood. Wejdi Saleh, a spokesperson for the Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition, was also arrested and taken to an unknown location, according to a family member. Pro-democracy protesters have continued to stage protests after the military coup on October 25th last year. Sudanese military leaders have arrested members of the resistance committees for allegedly organizing the protest. The Central Committee for Sudanese Doctors revealed that the death toll since the military takeover has risen to 81. Security forces shot and killed two more protesters on Monday in Khartoum. Ali insists that the act violates the law and the detainees are legally held behind bars.
They are denied access to their families and lawyers and denied access to their legal human rights. Some of them are exposed to unknown conditions and some of them are suffering from different health conditions and need to follow up with their doctors. Among those detained are children as well.
Khartoum resident Jihan Abdul Wahab, Wejdi Saleh's wife, tells South Sudan in Focus the family has had no access to Saleh since last week. She says, despite repeated requests by the family, authorities at Soba Prison turned down their request.
We don't have any communication with them and we requested for a visit and it has been denied. The lawyers have presented a petition to the Office of the Public Prosecution and no positive response up to this moment. We have been told that all the political detainees and members of the resistance committee are on hunger strike for the third day today.
Abdul Wahab says Sudanese security forces should be held responsible if her husband experiences any health complications during his detention. She is calling on human rights groups to stop what she calls the arbitrary arrest of citizens and the systematic attack on the civilian democratic transformation in Sudan.
We hold the coup authorities' responsibilities for the health situation of all the detainees, including my husband, WHD Saleh. Freedom is a right for every individual and not given by anyone. We believe in God's victory and we will win.
The Sudanese Public Prosecutor's Office said last Thursday that a criminal case has been opened against Saleh, Abdul Wahab Suleiman, and other detainees. Under Article 177, Section 2 of the 1991 Criminal Code for violating laws related to dealing in foreign exchange, violating financial and accounting procedures, and violating the law against unlawful and suspicious wealth. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Authorities in the Abyei administrative area say hundreds of people have been displaced in Agok town following intercommunal clashes last week. The chief administrator for Abyei area says there was another attack Tuesday, adding that the situation remains tense. At least 15 people were reported killed and 16 others injured in Agok area of Abyei after a group of suspected gunmen from the neighboring Twitch county of northern Bahr El Ghazal state attacked the area. Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Kwol Dim, the chief administrator for the Abyei administrative area, says 15 people were killed and 18 others were injured last week when a group of gunmen suspected of coming from neighboring Twitch County in Warafi State attacked a net market in Agok town. Dim says the attackers also set a market on fire.
Very unfortunate. Since the attack started, the attack to a net market, they started on the 10th. Mm. So these are the events on 10th, on 11th, and a small event here and there. When you sum them up, I give you that figure of 15. Well, the total number could reach to 15. 15 killed and 18 wounded.
Dim says the security situation in Agok remains tense after a fresh attack occurred last night. He says two South Sudan Defense Force soldiers were wounded in the attack.
Last night they were attacked for half an hour and they repulsed the attackers. But two of the soldiers were wounded, light wounds. So this happened last night at 1 o'clock, to the distance of 2 kilometers west of Agok. So it is the SSPDF soldiers that clashed with those who were trying to come to the town. So the tension is only confined to Agok town, and SSPDF forces deployed along the borders between Twitch and Ngok are in full control of the situation.
Chief Administrator Dim says thousands of people have been displaced as a result of the violence. Non-governmental organizations including Save the Children and Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, which has been running the Agok Hospital, have evacuated staff members.
You see, most of the, because of the attack, of the two attack on the 10th and the 18th, most organizations withdraw their non-essential staff to Abyei. The whole responsibility now lies on joint forces of SSPDF that have deployed along the borders between Tuja and Ngok. They are the one now responsible for, they have deployed outside the Abyei box along the borders between Tuja and Ngok. Very serious. Now we are managing humanitarian aspect of the fighting. You see, although the fighting looks small, but it has displaced now almost three quarters of the residents of Agok.
In a statement seen by South Sudan in Focus, Doctors Without Borders, known by its French acronym MSF, said it suspended operations in the area as they mourn the death of a staff member, David Deng Aleu, who was working as a nurse at Agok Hospital. The statement said Aleu was killed inside his home on February 10th when intercommunal fighting broke out in Agok town of the Abyei administrative area, which is a contested zone located on the border between South Sudan and Sudan. Guranga Mana, MSF head of mission in South Sudan, said the organization is, quote, deeply saddened by the death of its colleague and strongly condemned the violence in the area. Manas said residents of the town, including several MSF staff members working at the hospital, fled into the Buch and other towns for safety when the fighting broke out. He said the violence forced MSF to temporarily suspend operations at the hospital. 24 patients who were being treated at the hospital were transferred to a hospital in Abia town. Save the Children has also suspended its operations in Agog and relocated its staff following the attacks. In a statement, Mohamed Dahir, Save the Children's interim country director in South Sudan, said the aid agency could not work in an area where the lives of the staff and families are in danger. Dahir said the decree of violence led Save the Children to suspend all programs in the town, including essential health, food, education, and child protection programs. He said staffers, quote, cannot perform life-saving work in Agog if our staff and their families fear for their lives, end quote. Dahir strongly urged local authorities to protect civilians and ensure that humanitarian agencies can continue to deliver urgently needed services to children and families. For VOA News, I am Dengai Ding in Bor.
The UN Children's Fund is warning that famine is stalking Somalia. This as years of climate-related disasters have destroyed crops, dried up water sources, and created an environment in which deadly diseases are flourishing. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Somalia is facing a food, malnutrition, and water crisis after 3 years of consecutive drought compounded by heavy flooding and an infestation of desert locusts. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, reports that more than 4 million people, a quarter of the population, need humanitarian food assistance. It says 1.4 million children are acutely malnourished, including 330,000 at risk of dying if they do not receive special treatment for severe acute malnutrition. Additionally, UNICEF's chief of communication in Somalia, Victor Chinyama, says millions of people need emergency water supplies. Speaking from the capital, Mogadishu, he says lack of water is leading to serious outbreaks of diseases such as measles and diarrheal diseases, including cholera. Chinyama says families are taking desperate measures to survive. Since November, he notes 500,000 people have fled their homes in search of food, water, and grazing land for their cattle, exposing them to many risks. He says children on the move are particularly at risk of multiple abuses,
such as sexual violence, exploitation, gender-based violence. And in the context of Somalia, we cannot talk about displacement risks without addressing the specter of children being abducted and recruited by armed groups, for example, such as Al-Shabaab.
UNICEF reports last year 1,200 children, including girls, were recruited by armed groups and 1,000 children were abducted. Chinyama says many of these children have been victims of multiple violations. He urged the international community to act now to support Somalia and avoid a repeat of the 2011 famine, which killed an estimated quarter million people.
When the international community waits until a famine is declared, as we learned from 2011, that's probably a bit too late. A lot of the mortality happens before the famine is declared. When we start to show pictures of emaciated children, distended pot bellies, I'm afraid that's too late.
UNICEF is appealing for $48 million to carry out its humanitarian operation. It says $7 million is urgently needed by March to purchase high-energy, vitamin-fortified food. It says the lives of 100,000 severely, acutely malnourished children depend upon receiving this treatment. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the South Sudan People's Defense Force says the country's unified force is ready for graduation. Stay tuned for more on this story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What kinds of infrastructure improvements are the biggest priority in your community?
I would like my roads to be improved because we are not comfortable with the roads.
I think this hospital. This hospital because I'm seeing people suffering with their kids. Even mothers, they are suffering when they are pregnant.
Park where children can play and where adults can also meet to hang out will be a big improvement.
For the government to do the streets so that when people are driving, their cars cannot be bumping and all over. And the gutters as well. The gutters are full of rubbish and then it's choke as well. If they can clear the dirty things out, it will be perfect.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Officials with the Joint Defense Board, a body charged with unification of South Sudan's various forces, say all forces selected in various cantonment sites have been screened. South Sudan's military spokesperson says the force is now waiting to be unified, graduated, and redeployed. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Major General Lulu Roy Kwong, a member of the Joint Defense Board and a South Sudan People's Defense Force spokesperson, says the screening of joint forces was completed in December in all three regions of Upper Nile, Equatoria, and Bahr El Ghazal. He says coordinators from the three areas have handed over a report of the screening exercise yesterday to Joint Defense Board leaders, who will deliver it to the principals of the parties for adoption. Major General Kwong says three key steps remain for completing the process, which are the unification, graduation, and redeployment of forces. He says the timelines of those activities have yet to be determined by the principals to the peace deal.
The report is supposed to be submitted to NPTC chair, who would in turn submit it to the principals so that they make a decision on the unification of command based on the ratios that they would agree upon, and then the sharing of command once it is agreed upon, and then the commanding officers from other parties to the agreement would be confirmed and integrated into the SPDF, then the graduation and deployment.
Kwong says the screening focused on separating eligible officers from the graduation process. He says the officers were screened according to eligibility requirements adopted by the leadership of the Joint Defense Board, such as mental and physical fitness, age, and healthy conditions, among others. Forces that do not qualify are recommended for demobilization and disarmament, according to Kwong. Colonel Lampaul Gabriel, a member of the Joint Defense Board, who also doubles as the SPLIO spokesperson, did not answer repeated calls for comment. Paulino Lukudu, a member of Other Political Parties, or OPP, one of the parties that signed the Revitalized Peace Agreement in 2018, says it is urgent that the armed forces become unified to pave way for the implementation of key provisions in the peace agreement. He also says the various armed groups should be unified before elections are held, which are scheduled to take place in 2023.
The army has not been unified up to the moment. Armies are loyal to individuals and loyal to political parties rather than loyal to the country and loyal to the constitution. So we don't have a national army. We have army that belong to SAWA, army that belong to IO, army that belong to SSPDF, and even rebellions are still happening.
Brigadier Ibrahim Semir David is the representative of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance with the Joint Defense Board. He confirms the verification of the forces has been completed, adding that President Salva Kiir, First Vice President Riek Machar, and Vice President Hassan Abdelbaghi Akol are meeting later today to discuss the command structure of the unified forces.
The issue of the percentage is the big case because we have a constant number, all of us, IG and IO and SAWA, regarding for the issue of the percentage. But now nothing clear about the percentage.
under Chapter 2 of the peace agreement, which deals with transitional security arrangements, the parties should have completed screening of the unified forces according to military criteria for the purposes of recruitment for the army, police, national security, and other services, with 8 months of the signing of the revitalized peace agreement. Kwang says COVID-19 and financial problems are other issues that prolonged the unification process.
One issue was the issue of coronavirus. The second biggest problem was availing of the necessary funds needed to facilitate the process. Then, of course, now there was also lack of agreement on the unification of command structures as far as the ratios and the force that are supposed to be integrated are concerned. But some of these hurdles were overcome, including the approach to the screening of the forces.
South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lomro says while the parties have delayed making decisions on security arrangements, external challenge from the international community has also contributed to the delay in unifying the various forces.
The graduation is a challenge, a real challenge, because they themselves pose on us arms embargo. They want us to graduate this forces with sticks or with flowers. They're the one doing this.
The regional body called the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, mediator of the revitalized peace deal, has said that security arrangements are the backbone to the implementation of the deal. On Tuesday, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, deputy chair of the Sudan Military Transitional Council, arrived in Juba to pressure the parties into ramping up implementation efforts. Sudan is one of the guarantors to the peace deal. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A South Sudanese journalist in Twitch County of South Sudan's Warap State says she uses radio to air female voices and encourage more women to talk without fear. Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Sitting at her desk at community radio station Mayardit FM in Twitch County's Turale Payam, Asunta Alwell says she believes in the power of radio to lift up the voices of South Sudanese women. As one of the few female journalists working in South Sudan, Alwell says she is committed to raising women's voices, but says it's not easy in a country where transportation is a daily struggle.
There's no way for motorbike, there's no way for anything that can take me to the station, so I used to cross. The difficulty is when you are moving in the water, so the town is not the same. So sometimes I can even fall down, and then I get up, then I come to station when my clothes are into the only water, yes. So it's one of the challenges. Sometimes my phone, I lost it in that water because I forgot to put it in paper bag.
In a society where women fight for recognition in the workplace, Alwell says she embraces the challenge of being the voice of women in her community. One of her programs Alwell produces is called Changder Kunir, which in the Dinka language means the life of women and girls.
In the some position, women are not valued. Like if you go to local court, you get men only in local court. That local court just means discussing some of the issues that court, we call it main court or town court. It used to discuss sometime if there is issues in the family. Family want to separate, there is adultery committed, there is forced marriage. They used to discuss that. I was thinking there is not fairness because there are only men. If you go to the court, you get men only discussing.
Gwor Atem Baraj, the news and program editor at Mayardit FM, says Alwell's program has helped increase women's participation in the Tralee court system. Baraj describes Alwell as a pillar of the station.
I believe her commitments, her programs are making change to this community. Any program that related to women's rights, girls, she is the one that covered these stories with local authorities, with law enforcement agencies, so that she fight for the right of her group. So we give her, I give her that opportunity. I do give her mandate sometime to remain as the station manager, so that also to test her ability. She is one of the strong women. So Sunday is one of the best journalists, and she's also a leader.
The World Radio Day theme for this year was Radio and Trust. And Aluel's colleague says she has won the trust of her community. Aluel says for her, the decision to become a radio journalist was easy.
Any work that men do, we must do. And to do that, we have to show to the people that nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. A woman can be a journalist, can be a pilot, can be any field that you like to. So for me, I want other people to come to be a journalist.
Samuel Yai is a devoted listener to Mayardit FM. He says Aluel's radio program has motivated the local government to include women to participate in local court sessions.
Women are there now, part of those solving the case that people come across. Unless when it is something that has overcome them, is when they transfer the case now to the judge. Before this process, such initiative was not there. Women were not in cases. You may find all men are the ones, they call them she. But now women have become part of society, whereby if a case being a woman is to be solved, then those women have to encourage that woman to investigate how was this woman hurt and who is actually to follow her boy properly.
A 2020 report by Africa Women in Media cited several factors that prevent women in sub-Saharan Africa from becoming journalists. A 2020 report by African Women in Media cited several factors that prevent women in sub-Saharan Africa from becoming journalists. The report says job stagnation and salary discrepancies for women in the media, disparities between men and women in the distribution of job roles, sexual harassment, bullying, sexism, and racial discrimination remain major barriers to women working in the media. For VOA News, I am Sheila Poni in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we had for you this Wednesday. We now end the show with D. Kut and his song, Per Aher.
I got to learn way.
When you don't
know the way in the go, I bako get all of it.
You don't
know the band I better win.
You don't know
the band jam will be the south. So
you don't know
what learn way in the go.
You don't know
what I got to buy. You don't
find you don't know
what I want to Nengu tiamjul, tiapu jame jama ngwilera wuda baba ben beye keda. Pirit pirager, pirager akornum. Pirager, pirager akorman. Wanku pirichu ko mit ke bay Sudan melku ne biro. Biro kaneng ka korke, biro kaneng mitke. Ne pirager, wukai kol chilun wei.
Wanyuru jangru,
wotu wei nyindugo. I back up and wall even.
Jengru jengru,
I call a panda birawe.
Jengru jengru,
and jambo mit ke sauso.
Jengru jengru,
walun wey nindo go.
Jengru jengru,
we kai kot ke baje dong.
Jengru jengru,
we yak pingu yak jam, nge jam, yak jam we doru. Pione panduk,
We've been listening to Dikut and the song Peer Aher. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And yam go mit ke south so dengro waluñ way ñin de go dengro wa kay kot ke ba ci dum pangro dengro ek ci jeng tok ke kaamule ya jam juyin fandu na jodi na torbe ki kañal long 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 awaj long 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 panayi aku yak ru do ci tolo dum rap long 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 awaj awaj ko mit ti ko dum.